when you're at the airport and you're skydiving, nothing exists but that. Especially when you're jumping in a plane, nothing exists. There's no past, there's no future, there's nothing but now. And I think that's important really to take into relationships that you're in. I mean, how often have you gone over, you know, you're in front of a TV or with someone else and you're not really there. You're distracted, or you're on your phone, or you're paying attention to everything else. You're next to a couple that is in a relationship, and they're not together. They're just kind of, you know, both in the same room, but not interacting or being there. You can't be 100% in the moment at all times. But I always find it funny when you go to a restaurant and, you know, you see six people on their phone sitting at the same table. It's like, why'd you come to the restaurant if you're not paying it to each other or talking to each other or being with each other in any way? It just seems absurd to me.
This is Mindset Reinvented. As Helen Keller once said, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. Today's guest embodies this spirit in the most literal sense. Imagine standing at the open door of an airplane with wind rushing past. The ground is dizzying 14,000 feet below you. Your heart races as you take that leap into the void. This right here is the world of our guest, Jason Denon. He's a man who's danced with gravity and has lived to tell the tale. Jason Denon is back with us today, bringing insights and lessons learned from the edge of human experience. He is not just a survivor of a near fatal skydiving accident. He's a person who's turned free fall into a metaphor for life. Jason, I'm thrilled to have you here, my friend. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Of course, anytime. So Jason, on the last show, you shared your personal story about your skydiving accident. Let's just go back for people that are new and aren't familiar with it. Let's go back to that fateful day. You were floating down under your parachute. The world was spread out beneath you. Suddenly, everything changes. Can you paint that picture for us in those heart-stopping moments when things went wrong? How did you find calmness? How did you center yourself? Just bring us back to that day and then talk to us a little bit about how you centered yourself.
Sure. So coming in for a landing, it's like the third jump I did that day, waiting to land on the grass field. I'd landed on hundreds of times before, and then 150 feet off the ground, a huge wind comes off the mountains, picks me up, and basically, you know, sends me forward at a greatly increased speed. And I see that grass field running out, and in front of me is a cattle fence, a wire fence, and then behind it is an airplane hangar, big metal building. I have about 5 seconds before I'm going to land. And that 5 seconds, I'm counting down, and I get closer and closer to the fence, not sure if I could land on that field or not. And you only have two choices. Either you try to turn at 150 feet, which is a really bad idea, because turning means part of your parachute collapses in a turn and you dive towards the ground. And that's what creates a turn. If you do that from 150 feet, you'll crash directly in the ground and probably not survive. Option two is do nothing, and hopefully you land before the fence. Unfortunately, I didn't land before the fence. I was going way too fast, hit the fence, broke through that right away, and 10 feet behind it is the airplane hangar, which I hit at about 30 miles an hour. So when I get hit by that wind, it's hard to determine how much further that's going to carry you forward. So I get hit by the wind, and I would go, okay, there's two choices. You turn and you're going to kill yourself, or you do nothing. And, if you get caught up in emotion, you want to do something right away. And I knew that was the mistake, to try to turn. And I just took a deep breath and said, okay, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but don't do something that's going to make your situation worse, which is that turn. Don't do that, because that's one of the number one reasons why people die in skydiving accidents, called low turns. When they're coming in for a landing, they turn and they dive towards the ground and terrible things happen. So I mean, I guess I had trained myself through skydiving over a long time to not get taken over in the emotion. You have to be in the moment and assess what the risk is as you're coming in and make the best decision you can in the time available. And so I said, don't turn. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Relax your body as much as you can, because I always say, people getting in car accidents, when you tense up, that's when you get hurt in a worse way, versus a lot of times, not to drunk driving is a terrible thing, but a lot of times the person who gets in the accident who is intoxicated doesn't get hurt because their body is in a relaxed state because of the alcohol they consumed, and the person they hit gets terribly injured, but that person walks away okay because their body's relaxed. So I tried to just get all the stress out of my body and relax, knowing that I was, as I'm coming in, I'm like, I'm going to hit the side of, this fence and the side of this building. Try to relax your body as much as possible, and hopefully that limits the damage.
As you were approaching the cattle fence and you said, okay, I've got to turn the switch on and not tense up and just be loose and just let the impact be what it is. Is that what you were thinking of in your mind?
Yeah, I think one of the things that with skydiving, kind of as you learn as you go, the when you skydive, the more tense you are, the worse you fly, because if you tense your body as you're going, which is in the beginning is really natural because you're so nervous, you want to hold on tight, but you're flying all over the place. They call it potato chipping, and it makes for a horrible experience. You're completely unstable in that environment. So as you go along and as you learn, you have to let go of that tenseness, and that allows you to fly in the way you want to fly in a very stable position. It allows you to do more and maneuver and things like that. So kind of so that is ingrained in your mind, and as you get used to the more and more jumps you do. So I credit that really to allowing me to just loosen my body. It was kind of the same mindset that you use when you're normally flying and skydiving to kind of let go. So I mean, I'm thinking of that as I'm coming in, just don't tense, relax. And then, I mean, the last thought I had before I hit that fence was, life's about to change. I'm not really sure how, but something incredible is about to happen, either incredibly bad or it turned out to be incredibly good and the best thing that ever happened to me. That was kind of my last thought before I hit the fence.
Yeah, not being a skydiver, and based on our previous interview, and both physical and mental control come into play and are incredibly crucial. Regaining control over your body and movement when unexpected situations arise is probably one of the most best things that you can do to prepare yourself for potential impact or something going wrong. How did that experience translate into helping you navigate unexpected challenges on the ground in daily life?
Yeah. Well, things are change all the time. Like, I mean, my life changed within a second, what from landing on the ground to hitting the side of the building. So things are going to change, and you just have to always adapt to it and figure out, how to get through that. I think one important thing is don't get emotionally taken over in situations when they change, because that makes for bad decision making. I think that when you first skydive, for instance, when you're jumping out of the plane, you're so overcome by emotion. Your world is so small, other than you only can notice kind of yourself because you're so taken over by being so fearful of what you're going through. And so you're limited your awareness of what else is going on. And as you go, it's almost like being a baby, where a baby, at first is only aware of that small surrounding around them, and as they are able to crawl and grow, they start, their world opens up. And with skydiving, it's the same way. The more you jump, and the more you're not taken over by that fear, emotion, your world opens up to notice other things in a good way, because now you see other dangers coming that you wouldn't see in that really initial state where you're only noticing yourself and very, limited things, versus as things jump it up, you're like, you notice other people in when we're jumping out of the plane, when you're landing and there's 24 other parachutes in the air, and you have to space yourself between them. And some people do things that are unexpected that come into your airspace and could knock you out of the air and could kill you, not purposely, but they're not paying attention, or they're paying attention to something else to the right or the left. So, you know, your awareness, you know, increases. So, you know, one of the things that, as you kind of bring that into everyday life is, you know, work situations where you're trying to solve a problem and, you know, you're frustrated and it's taking longer than you think it is. And you're getting all this outside pressure to get this done, and you're missing the easiest thing or the easiest solutions to those problems because you're taken over by that emotion. And sometimes you'll ask someone else, their opinion, and they'll come in with a solution to your problem that is, you know, that solution, but you are blocked by the emotions going on. And it's like you overlook the easiest thing because you were so frustrated and taken over by emotion. And you go, why didn't I think of that? And the reason is because you were taken over by emotion. You were blinded by that and not seeing the full picture. And, you know, same thing happens where I've done that for other people, where someone's so frustrated and you're not frustrated because you're removed from the situation. And they come in and ask you that question. You're like, yeah, just, you know how to do this. You know, fix it this way. And they go, oh yeah. It's like, so being emotionally charged is not the way to make, you know, it's easy for everyone gets caught up in emotion sometimes, but it's the worst way to make decisions because you're not thinking of it in a logical way to get to that end that you want to get to. So, yeah, that was a big lesson that I learned.
When you're jumping out of the plane, and if you're tensed up, like you said, and if you're thinking about fear, and that's the single narrow lens that you're looking at that situation, it could be very dangerous. As you said, you might not even be able to see that maybe other dangers are around you. So being aware of that kind of stuff is important. Is there a mental exercise, a breathing exercise, a combination of the two that you would recommend for people that are in that emotional state to be able to let the air out of the balloon and be able to think clearly?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing is just kind of getting up and just taking a walk for a second, or 5 minutes, and kind of get out of that situation and kind of just walking is a huge thing, where it just kind of, it diverts you from what you're doing for a second and kind of gives you a lot of more clarity where, and also just a lot of times I, you know, when someone has a problem at work, I say, and they're all, you know, emotionally charged, I was like, is someone going to die today from what this just happened? And it kind of just putting into perspective, like, no, I'm like, okay, we'll fix whatever has happened. It's okay. Because you could see a lot of times on someone's face, just like they are taken over by emotion right now. And whatever you say to them, they're not going to take in, because they're so fixated on this problem that it's the end of the world. And it's kind of snap them back into, no one's going to die. Okay. And they go, nope. And we go, okay, let's think about this problem logically. But yeah, I think the walk is a huge thing too. Cause a lot of times, you know, when you're about to make a snap judgment and you know, you're about to make a snap judgment, maybe not the best decision, it's like, okay, let me get up for 5 minutes and walk around and kind of just weigh this out. And it kind of frees your mind up a little bit to just kind of refocus in a different way by just walking and thinking about it for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's great advice. I really like the question of, is anybody going to die? I know some people that actually stop and reflect and ask themselves that question when they're in a heated moment, and it calms them down and gives them some clarity. So gold advice right there. That's one question that we can all ask when we're in this moment of frenzy. The other thing that I find powerful, and unfortunately, it holds a lot of people back from experiencing their true self and their, you know, an abundant life and however they define it, is fear. Fear is the elephant in the room for most people. For you, it looks like all the jumps that you've done and all the experiences that you've had, you've been able to look at primal fear right in the face and say, hey, you got nothing on me. I got this. So how has staring into that abyss, how has that changed your relationship with fear in general?
Yeah. Well, I think fear can either protect you or hold you back from doing something that you have the ability to do. And the closer you're to that danger line, the harder it is to determine what that is. I think a lot of times I'm driven by fear, meaning I look at something and go, I'm not sure I can do it. And it gives you that feeling in your stomach. And then you're like, and it draws me towards that to see like, well, can I do it? Because there's lots of people out there that say, you know, I can, I've heard so many people that can say, well, I can skydive in this and never jumped out of a plane before. I said, okay, well, then if you think you can, and that's something you want to pursue, go ahead and do it. But because there's a huge difference between saying you want to do something or saying you're capable of doing it and actually doing it. And I'm not saying skydiving doesn't have to be for everyone, because it's not, and it doesn't, you know, I don't think any less of anyone who doesn't jump out of a plane. But it's really about the challenge, whatever your challenge is or whatever your fear is that you want to overcome, is the important part. And a lot of my adventures kind of started with that fear, whether rock climbing, ice climbing, climbing mountains, moving to Colorado, speaking in public, all those other things. You know, you're just like, I don't know if I can do this. And that kind of drives you towards doing it. And trying to prove it. And it's not to prove it to anybody else. It's really to prove it to yourself. You always say, you know, doing hard things does one thing for you. It allows you to do more hard things in the future. It's kind of like putting deposits in a bank that you can withdraw later. It's like, if you're used to pressing yourself and being uncomfortable and getting through hard things, well, then something when it unexpectedly happens to you, that's really hard. It's like, well, I've done hard things before. I realize what it feels like. It's not comfortable. It's not easy to go through, but I've been through hard things. So it's going to allow me to do this as well. So, yeah. And I think one big misconception for people who don't skydive is they kind of say, they think that people who jump out of a plane don't have fear for jumping out. They think, you know, they have a screw loose and it's not a big deal. And that's what they think that's what allows you to jump out of the plane, not having fear, when it's just the complete opposite. I mean, I was terrified when I was jumping out of a plane, and for the first bunch of jumps and bunch might be 20, 30 or whatever, I was terrified. And it's really getting through that terror skydiving is just a way to grow in your life. It's something that helps you evolve, in your own life. And that's, it's a growth mechanism. So because I know people who had to go to the psychiatrist before they went to skydiving, they were so nervous, they needed to find ways to calm down. I know people who went to the wind tunnel, which is kind of a practice for skydiving, with a lot of the danger removed, for hours upon hours before they could actually go and train for the first time as a skydiver. So it's just the opposite. It's like, I'm sure there's some people that don't have fear, but I sure had, was terrified when I was doing it. So it's trying to find a way through that terror and to get out on the other side and challenge yourself to do something that you haven't done before.
And that could be a podcast all on its own, that moment when you've made a decision that you're going to jump out of your comfort zone, you're going to face fear right in the face, and you're going to do something that a lot of people feel is dangerous. There is danger. There's risk involved with it, of course. But statistically, if you do it the right way, chances are you're going to come out and it's going to be the best experience of your life. Courage is really the underlying through line here with everything that you've experienced. Now, the other thing is there's something humbling about being a speck in the sky. So how has that perspective from above shaped your view of yourself and your place in the world?
Yeah. Well, I think in general, just learning is really to humble yourself when you're learning something new. And that's incredibly important, because I've seen other people that were also training in skydiving that didn't do that, and it didn't have a, you know, good consequence. It's not necessarily, you know, crashing or getting hurt, but, you know, you have to realize a lot of people that are successful in one part of their life think they could take on something else new. And they think they have something that is going to allow them to be successful without learning the new lessons that you need to learn in that new aspect of your life. I think it's incredibly important in that sky to say, I don't know anything until I can create or learn the judgment and gain the judgment myself to safely do this. I need to actually rely on the trainer's judgment to get me through this safely. And also you're seeking out mentors, you're asking questions, you're you're letting go of your ego of who you think you are in order to get through this. Because when you don't do that, as someone who was in the same training class that I was in, kind of had, didn't let go of the ego, and they kind of went out, came in with a puffed up chest, and I'm not scared, and I'm going to get through this. And I'm just like, I'm sitting in that class going, I'm super scared. And the jumps of, the class starts with 4 hours and you're going to jump in the afternoon for the first time. I'm listening. I'm hanging on everything the instructor says, because I'm just like, I better listen to all this because I'm terrified. I need to know all of this. The other person's not paying attention and just between breaks in the class wants to tell us how good they're going to be at it. And that was their attitude. And the reality is they got through about two jumps before they quit skydiving because, I went through the training class and it was a couple months later. I see that guy again. I said, I haven't seen you in 3 months. Where have you been? And he's like, the excuses start coming of why they didn't do it. And, they're on jump three and I never saw them again. And it was just what you wanted to be like the macho guy. And I this doesn't scare me. I could do this and I'm going to get through all my training jumps in 2 days. And then I'm going to be a seasoned skydiver. And then I'm going to do all this. And I was like thinking to myself, in my head, I was like, maybe you should get through the training jumps before we plan 100 jumps down line and you're wingsuiting off of cliffs and doing all this. It's like, you haven't gotten through jump one yet. And, right. and it's a, they didn't want to ask questions. They knew more than the trainer did. So, it's so important to humble yourself and go, I don't know everything day one. I don't have the judgment yet. I have to say, I'm not the expert. They are, and take everything in you can. And that was, a huge key, to learning. And that's anything you learn new, that's not something you've experienced before, that I think is super important. And the lesson I've seen where, I've learned that in skydiving and everything new I learned, and I kind of always had that attitude. But you see someone else, go through that same journey and don't do that. And it just doesn't come out very well.
Yeah. It's a totally different mindset. I equate that to motivation. I don't think that motivation is all that you need to be able to get you where you're going to go. Cause motivation is one of those things where in that gentleman's case, he was feeling, his chest was pumped up. He was feeling all motivated and ready to go. And then the reality of it hit him. And that motivation didn't carry him through. What he really need was discipline.
100%.
Yeah. Discipline to stick to it, regardless of these fears, knowing what's going to prop up. You've got to have some awareness, knowing that this stuff is going to come up. These emotions are going to play around with you when you're there. So knowing that and knowing that you got to push through it, that's where the growth is. So that's a super powerful message right there.
When you say motivation, motivation wanes. And I found that a lot with my recovery from my skydiving accident when, it's 11 months of rehab. And through that whole process, it's like you can't go by motivation because every day you wake up, you don't feel like going through the rehabilitation because I was doing, 8 or 10 hours a day for months. And it's like, I don't feel great today. It's like, that doesn't matter. I don't feel like, jumping out of bed I wasn't jumping out of bed after all those injuries, but it was just like, you find a routine, you like you said, discipline yourself and go, this is what I'm doing today. It doesn't matter whether I feel like it or not. Start moving and eventually I'm going to get into it and keep going. But you have to start with something to get you there. It's like you need to find something every day to improve just a little bit. And if you have and if you take that step to find something little every day, when you go 30, 60 days and go through a year of finding something every day, it's like you're taken to a place that you would have never gone to unless you decided to figure out a way to get something a little bit better every day, it's just small improvements over time. And that's what I took out of the rehabilitation. You don't make huge advances in one day, but it's those small advances over a long time that makes what people look at and go, I can't believe where you are. They think it's like an overnight wonder, but it's like, it's not an overnight wonder. It was, 200 days of little gains every single day that got you there.
Oh, 100%. It totally, totally builds character one step at a time. Doing the hard stuff every day. And sometimes it's just overcoming a mental barrier, which is the hard stuff that you've got to overcome. The other thing that I find also potentially another lesson in what you're going to share here is when you're free falling, it's impossible to be anywhere else but in the present. So with the rush of wind and the earth rushing up to meet you, how has that intense presence influenced your day-to-day life?
Yeah. So when you're at the airport and you're skydiving, nothing exists but that. And especially when you're jumping in a plane, nothing exists. There's no past. There's no future. There's nothing but now. And I think that's important really to take into relationships that you're in. I mean, how often have you gone over, you're in front of a TV or with someone else and you're not really there. You're distracted or you're on your phone or you're paying attention to everything else. You're next to a couple that is in a relationship and they're not together. They're just kind of, both in the same room, but not interacting or being there. You can't be 100% in the moment at all times. But I always find it funny when you go to a restaurant and, you see six people on their phone sitting at the same table. It's like, why'd you come to the restaurant if you're not paying to each other or talking to each other or being with each other in any way? It just seems absurd to me. But I think there were times, before skydiving, that sometimes I was like that for sure. You're in a room with someone or you're having a business conversation with someone, but you're thinking of solving the next problem in 10 minutes after they leave your office and you miss everything that you're talking to the person about because you're not really paying attention. You're just physically there, but not in the moment or paying attention. And you're re-asking them later, like, what did we talk about? And it's really, something I think you miss out on because it's like someone's here, someone needs you. Be in that moment with that person and figure out what they need or how you want to interact with them rather than just kind of be there physically and not mentally there with them. Because sharing space with them is not really what you want to do. And especially, personal relationships. I think, you could be in the same room with them some every day, but you're both in your different worlds and not interacting. And I think that leads to, down the road of not having a good relationship or relationships ending so I think it's really important to kind of be there with that person and really be involved.
Oh, I agree with you. And it's really a blessing when anybody chooses to spend their time, which is borrowed, guys. I mean, we're never getting out of here alive, but to spend their time and their space with us, the best thing that we can do is be present with them. Yesterday, I was at a restaurant and I looked over to my right and I saw this this really young couple with probably a 2-year-old, maybe a 2.5-year-old. And the mother was keeping her daughter engaged and they were smiling and laughing. And the little girl looks over to her father, who had his face in his phone, and she reached over and pulled on his sweater to get his attention. Do you know he did not look up once? And so it's interesting that you bring that up because that's exactly what you're talking about. We have a choice to make in life, and those choices have far-reaching implications. You keep doing that with your daughter, you're going to grow further and further apart from each other. And that's a shame. Let's go back because I want to talk a little bit about your book. I know we covered it on our last show, but let's talk a little bit about it because it's called The 8 Days Till Sunrise. Tell our listeners a little bit about your book and the key lessons that you hope your readers will take away from your story.
Yeah, some of the key lessons are just in general, don't give in and don't give up. I mean, you're in some really difficult situations. And there was times when I was, laying in that bed where I couldn't move for 3 months and, having some really negative thoughts that I'm not sure I can come back from this. And, doctors telling you what you're capable of or they think you're capable of in those 5-minute visits that you're with them. And, you can, if you believe, especially people that are not invested in your life, give you what they predict your life is going to be, not taking that, taking that as something that you're going to live by. You decide where you're going to go and what you're going to accomplish. And if you let that negative talk that's given to you determine your life, well, then you're going to be exactly where they say you are. It's like I always said when I was in that recovery, don't let someone else determine where you're going to be. Don't ever regret where you're going to end up by not putting that effort forward to rehabilitate your body and figure it out yourself. I said, I don't want to be 10 years down the line and say, you know what, I could have done this or that if I put the effort in and didn't believe what the doctor said. I didn't believe what they said. I cast it aside and said, I'm going to figure out how far I can go. And I'm eventually going to fail because I'm pushing, and that's okay, but I'm going to figure out how far I can go with this recovery. And, you know, if I listened to the doctors, I would have never raced a triathlon I've done lots of triathlons since the accident. But, you know, they said I wouldn't be able to run again, things like that. And you know, I've climbed mountains again when they said I wouldn't be able to climb mountains. So you have to figure out what your limits are. Don't allow anyone else.
Gold on a lot of levels. I appreciate you sharing that. I also, just to add one or two thoughts to that, is I think there are two critical pieces of it too for people that are struggling in some capacity. And that is, A, it has to come from a belief inside of you, a belief that you can be better and stronger and be in the situation that you want to be in. You have to believe in yourself. Where do you get that belief from? Well, there's many ways to get that belief, but one of the biggest things I think is so important, I think you can echo this, having a support system around you. I think that's critical. And I know you had a tremendous amount of support around you, people that you didn't expect to hear from, people that you didn't expect to see, that were there for you by your side the entire time and gave you a new perspective on those relationships. And now, of course, the way that you have explained it and described it, there isn't a day that goes by that you don't share your love and your compassion for people that means something to you. So I think that's really, really important. I so appreciate you being on the show again. You're a solid guy, and I'm glad to know you. I'm glad to consider you a friend of mine. So your story is a reminder of how amazing the human spirit can really, really be. We'll have all of Jason's links in the show notes so you can learn more about Jason and his book. And again, Jason, thank you again for being with us today. And thank you all for tuning into Mindset Reinvented. If you found value here today, please pay it forward and share this show with others that may benefit by listening. You never know what somebody needs to hear today, right now, and you can have a hand in it by being that bridge. And remember, if you're not on our email list, visit mindsetreinvented.com so you get notified of our newest episodes. And remember, guys, life may not always give you a parachute, but with the right mindset, you can learn to fly. Bye for now.
This is Mindset Reinvented.